It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 Closet Busters, guess what? Well, I think most of you by now, if you're a regular listener, you know what. You know it's time to step out of the closet, to stop that closet dwelling, and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. But I'm going to change the game today. Instead of talking about just living our truth, today I really, really want to focus on being more self-reliant, being really, truly self-loving. Finding that space in your life where you can be self-aware and mindful. Now, you may be asking, okay, so why is this all important about doing all these things to be coming out of the closet? Well, without these abilities and exercising those muscles, one of the things I know for sure is that if you don't do this and you don't become more self-reliant, self-loving, self-aware, and mindful, you will be fighting a steeper uphill battle in changing your beliefs about who you are as an LGBTQ individual. In fact, more than likely, you will spend years, countless hours of stress, of worry, when all you had to do was tap into finding ways to make these shifts simply using a tool that can make your life so much more simple by being a person who really owns, lives, and breathes the essence of just being a person who says, I am. And to help me unwrap this and to kind of give us a tool that I think it's pretty amazing for making some monumental shifts is a buddy of mine. He's a guy I kind of consider a soul brother, a man among men who's really not afraid to let people see a grown man cry. And he's not afraid of wearing that heart on his shirt sleeve. His name is Josh Becker. And before we dive in and have him join me, I want to tell you a little bit about him. He is got a really cool podcast called Simply I Am. It's been, out there for a while. He's reached people in over 150 countries, and he's living and breathing this talk of being self-reliant, loving himself, being self-aware, and being very mindful. Welcome to the podcast, my friend Josh.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, man. So I'm going to set the record straight right now, and you get on the show page and you see Josh's picture. There's going to be a whole lot of hearts that get broken because he's a good looking guy and no, he's not gay. So we're going to just get that out of the way right now. And I always flirt with him a little bit just because I know we can have that kind of fun.
You're funny.
Well, hey, I love you, man, and I think you're a pretty cool guy. And one of the things that drew me to you besides your wonderful good looks was when I saw Simply I Am, and I started listening to it, I thought, this guy really gets it. This is a guy who really gets what it means to really step into some places and go some places with yourself, as well as others, to really make some big changes in the world. So I'm curious, Josh, what was the thing that started to really turn you towards, I want to do this work, I want to be having impact in life? Because you're kind of one of those guys who's, like most of us, you had the six-figure income, you've been doing the corporate life. What was it that got you going down this other path?
Yeah. So for me, it probably started about 5 years ago. Kind of had my momentous crash, if you will, and hit my proverbial rock bottom. And everything kind of came crashing to a halt for me. I found myself sleeping in my car one night because I wasn't allowed in my house. I wasn't allowed in the house where my wife and my children were living because I was living a life, kind of a secret life, if you will, that was made to feed the very things I couldn't feed myself. And that all points back to self-love. And I was doing very well as a dad blogger, and that notoriety and that public kind of figure status that I had led me to be seeking and searching for attention and acceptance from everything around and outside of me. Because, you know, there was like I always say that there was a sense of like I had a hole in me. I don't know if you hear people say that, like there's this there's a hole in them. They can't figure out what that is kind of thing. And for me, that was attention and acceptance. And there's a wonderful author named David Rico who talks about how we give and receive love. And we give and receive love using what are called the five A's. And those five A's are attention and acceptance and affection and appreciation and allowance. Not only is that how we give love to other people, but that's how we also love ourselves. And so, of course, at the time, I was completely unaware of what that actually meant. In fact, even nowadays, I talk to people and I talk about self-love and they say, oh, I love myself. And I think most of us are just very confused because we think that self-love is a feeling. We think that I feel I love myself, and it's actually used in the term of a verb, right? To actually love yourself. And so I had no concept of what self-love meant and really a real lack of awareness of who I was. And the reason I found myself sleeping in my car that night was because I wound up getting attention and acceptance and this love from other people that weren't my family. And it was almost like a drug at the time. And so I wound up in a really bad place in my life. I was given a 90-day probationary period at work because I had my own radio show doing the dad blogging thing. So I was about to lose my job. My wife and I were kind of on the fritz at that point. We had struggled 4 years through infertility to have our children. And the thought of not being married meant that I wouldn't be with my children all the time. And right at the time I found out my mom, who has passed 2 years ago, right at the time I found out that she was diagnosed with cancer. So essentially everything around me in my life was coming to a crashing halt. And I realized that night in my car that I had to make a decision because there was a good part of me that just didn't want to be on this planet anymore. I was losing everything around me and felt like I had nothing to give. And there was this part of me, though, that sensed that I had to be here for some reason, that I knew there was some kind of value there. I just couldn't put my finger on it. And I had known about this community in the area of California that I live called Breakthrough for Men. It's a not-for-profit community that runs year-long workshops, and they've been around for 30 years. And I was really opposed to hanging out with a bunch of dudes and sharing my feelings, right? As men, whether we identify with being gay or straight, we're taught to fear other men. You know, we're taught to fear other men. And the thought of sharing vulnerably and openly with another guy, just horrifying to me. I knew I didn't have any other options if I was going to continue living on this earth. And so I went through the program myself and really found out where all of this stuff was coming from, why I was the person I was, who I truly am, and came into that and to find out a lot more clarity about life and self-awareness and self-love and mindfulness. And when I'm teaching there, and now I sit on the board of directors for them, and I created the I Simply Am podcast, and I've been writing and teaching and speaking for the last several years about all of this to all kinds of people.
It's fascinating. And the parallel I draw, well, there's many that I drew as you were speaking to the coming out journey. It's fascinating that one of the first places we go in our minds, and not surprisingly, is we want people to accept us. Mm. Yet the thing we've got going against us is from a societal perspective, that's the last thing we're going to get right out the gate, because society has said, oh, as gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgenders, queer questioning, all of the alphabet we now have, you're just not the heteronormative. Yet, I would beg and differ that the one thing we need most, and I know from my own journey and as I've worked with people in my practice, the one thing we need most is we need to accept ourselves first. And as I've worked with people and watched that light bulb moment happen, and it, even if somebody's like, okay, yeah, I get it that I'm gay, there's still moments as they start to do the work where I go, yeah, you may get it, but you haven't done that acceptance piece. You haven't stepped into that place where you're fully not looking for the external validation, as you said. It's about, oh, I need everybody else to do this for me, then I will be okay. So as you went through that process, and you know, as you were talking about the program you went through, I was kind of amazed when you said they've been around for 30 years. That's pretty groundbreaking in and of itself. Especially personal development work for men. Yes, personal development work has been around. I mean, I remember my first entree into it was Tony Robbins' program probably back in 1990. So, you know, we would have been in that same range. But to just think about a program for guys that's been around for 30 years is really, really amazing. So you're in the program, you come out and you start to really, you know, there we go. You come out in your own way. What was the thing that most impacted you as you came out the other end of that program? What was the thing that really made you go, aha, I am, well, quote unquote, here?
Yeah, wow. Well, there was certainly a lot. I became very aware of who I was and who I was not. And in...
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt you there because you just said something really beautiful, Josh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a key. Mm-hmm. Who you are and who mm-hmm. you are not. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. a lot of people, and because you've done this training, you do this work, I'm going to just say that the second piece of that statement is easier for most people to say, well, I know I'm not this. Mm-hmm. But to ask somebody, so who are you, mm-hmm. usually stops them in their tracks.
Yeah. Do you want to explore that a little more?
I really do, because you said it so beautifully, and I think that's kind of the essence of this, for sure, the coming out journey, but I think that's the essence of who we are as human beings.
Yeah, well, I think it would really resonate with your audience as well, because I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably very much identify with their sexual orientation, i.e. identify with being gay or lesbian or transgender or whatever the case may be. Is that probably a fair assumption?
They identify with it, but they have a hard time getting to that place where they can really at a deeper level accept and embrace it.
Yeah, that's the key. We're taught from a very young age to self-identify with all of these things external to us. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, those things are the role we play. Those things are the clothes that we wear, the body we live in, the jobs we have, the money we have, the friends we have. We're even taught to self-identify with our own thoughts and our own feelings. Mm-hmm. And all of these things that I mentioned, all of these things are changing to one degree or another, yep. right? Even identifying with being gay. Now, you could make the argument that you were gay since birth, okay? Let's say that that's a fair argument to make. But even if that's true, you weren't aware as an infant that you were gay, right? You know, when you were first born, when I was first born, we weren't thinking of sex, right? We weren't thinking of who we wanted to be partners with, right? We weren't thinking that at all. So even the notion of playing that role, and when I say that, I don't in any way diminish the importance or the value and who you choose as a partner, right? It doesn't take away from the significance of that, right? What it does, though, is it allows you to focus on the constant, never-changing, static, concrete you. That you that is always you no matter what thoughts or what feelings you're having. That you that is always you no matter what circumstance you find yourself in. And this is why many of us live a roller coaster life, because who we think we are changes depending on the weather, the boyfriend or girlfriend we have, the money we make, the jobs we have, and all these other things that are always constantly changing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It is that fluctuation that I think so many people miss, that I know who I am in this moment, but in the next moment, I may be someone different, but not completely different. It's just what the circumstances are. There's different pieces of Rick that are going to show up in the playground, so to speak.
There's a relatively quick way, and this refers back to that kind of the tool that I mentioned earlier, to really determine where you are and where you're coming from. And a lot of this stems back to, you know, again, as we were talking about, first really getting a clear picture on who we are and what that means, right? And what I do is I like to take people on a little exercise, visual exercise, where what I would have you do is I would have you just close your eyes and I would have you imagine holding a small infant in your hands, in your arms. And, you know, you're cradling that little infant, and many people, if not almost everybody listening, probably at one point or another has held a little infant in their arms. And if they can't, they can imagine what that might be like. That little baby, you know, is probably right around 6, 7, 8 pounds. And it's got just cute little chubby legs and the little wrinkles and then the wrists and all the cute little baby things going on, right? And you're looking at this baby, and this baby is looking right back at you. And when you look at the baby, think of what things you could imagine this baby expressing or the baby having, right? And so when you do that, you might think to yourself, well, let's see, this baby all by itself is completely lovable. This baby is completely lovable. This baby is completely full of worth. You might think that this baby is tender and maybe the baby is strong. You might think that the baby is joyful and loving and magnificent and emotional, right? The baby's emotional. The very first thing a baby does when it's born is cry, right? Yeah. That's expressing an emotion. And yet, for especially for men, many men are taught that you can't cry, right? That in order to be a man, you can't cry. But the very first thing you do when you're born is cry. Yeah. So
kind of crazy there that you can't do this, but that's the first instinct we have.
That's right. And so when we start looking at all of these different qualities, and I could probably list out about 70 of them that you would think about and you wouldn't question when you're looking at this little baby. You know, the baby is fully enough just as it is in your arms. And then as this baby is looking at you and you're looking back at the baby, put your face on that baby's face. And that is you. When you were born, you were all of these qualities. You were all of these qualities. And the remarkable thing about that, Rick, is that you didn't have to do anything to get those qualities. When we're looking at this infant and thinking it's beautiful and enough and good and worthwhile and valuable and lovable, the baby hasn't met a boyfriend or a girlfriend. The baby hasn't gotten a job. The baby hasn't gotten a degree, right? The baby didn't have to do anything, and yet it had all of these qualities. So when we're out in the world wanting to show up as who we are, we need to remember that we're not the false beliefs and the thoughts that we've accumulated over time. We're not the stories that we've been told by those who did their best to love us. We're all of these qualities that we were born with, and those qualities never change, regardless of how we feel. And that's something really important to understand. I want everybody to really, really get this. Self-esteem has nothing to do with how you feel. Self-esteem has nothing to do with how you feel. You are always enough, worthwhile, valuable, lovable, and good, regardless of how you feel in any given moment. So we can end the chase of trying to feel good to embrace our enoughness and our goodness. We can end the chase of having to have the right thought or the right circumstance to line up in order to define who we are. Because the starting place is who we are. That's the starting place, not the goal or the destination. And the tool I want to share with everybody, a quick recognition of how we actually process things in the world. And essentially what that looks like is that we all have thoughts, right? We all have thoughts based on something that's occurring in the world around us. And I'll give you one of the quick examples I give, which is common for a lot of us, is when, have you ever driven down the road and gotten cut off by somebody, Rick?
Yep.
Yeah, that happened.
10 times yesterday driving around LA. Yep.
Right. So exactly. So for many people, myself included, for a lot of my life, when somebody cuts me off or cut me off in the past, I'd go from zero to screw you in 2.3 seconds, right?
Right.
And just this massive rush of feelings and anger and all those sorts of things. And what happens is we oftentimes respond to a situation based on how we feel, right? Mm-hmm. And so people say, well, you need to change your feelings. You need to change the way you feel. You need to not be so angry or whatever the situation might be. But the thing is, we're actually missing a really critical step in the process about how we observe things, observe life, and how we respond to life. And that critical step is in the meaning that we apply to our thoughts. And it happens in one of two ways. What happens is we have a thought. The thought is somebody just cut me off, right? Everybody has that thought. Somebody just cut me off. It's a non-judgmental thought, okay? What happens is either some of us go right to angry and rage and frustration, and others go to a place of concern, curiosity, loving, care. And you wonder, well, how is that even possible? How could somebody cut you off and you do that? And the reason is it's because when the person that does that notices the meaning that they're applying to the thought that they have. Now, I know this sounds, you know, pretty technical, but this is how our brains work. And when we notice the meanings that we apply to our thoughts, we can change our feelings and change our responses to our feelings. And so what that looks like in real life is when I've gotten really angry and upset, the meaning that I applied to the thought of that person cut me off was I don't matter, right? Because if I mattered, you wouldn't cut me off, right?
Yep.
So this is a false belief. That I don't matter. Because when we looked at that baby, one of the qualities of the baby was important and mattering. That's an inherent quality of everybody when they're born. So the false belief that I'm not important, even when somebody cuts me off, is just not true. Yeah. It's an old story we've been telling ourselves. And so when I think that I'm not important, how am I going to feel? I'm going to feel anger, rage, frustration, right? But what if we applied a new meaning to that thought that somebody cut me off? What if we applied a meaning based on who we are? What if we said to ourselves, when somebody cut us off, I am important. I do matter. Well, then what's the other explanation? Well, there could be a million explanations why somebody cut me off. Maybe they just weren't paying attention. Maybe they had a small child in the backseat that I couldn't see and they were rushing that child to the hospital. Right? There's all kinds of reasons why that person might have cut you off that had nothing to do with your lack of importance. And so if I place a new meaning on that thought that somebody cut me off, if I placed a meaning based on who I am that is important and mattering and good and lovable, then I start to get really curious about why that person found themselves in such a crazy predicament that they had to cut me off. And then I start feeling concern for them and care for them. And then I back off a little bit to give them space. Right? So I start coming at life from a different place. And the beauty of it all is that the circumstance said nothing about who I was. I still got to be who I was in that moment and then act out accordingly based on who I am, not on the false beliefs that I carried.
And I think this piece is so, first of all, I love what you just did, Josh. It's really beautiful to demonstrate this who we are quality. Because when we know who we are, it's so much easier to manage these chaotic moments of life.
Yeah.
But if we don't know who we are, then we become this projection of everything everybody else has either told us we're supposed to be, or something we've witnessed from, you know, we all do it. I'm going to caveat this that Josh and I are not saying we're the perfect guys. I get this. In fact, last night as I was driving home from LA in the middle of the night, we were on one of our lovely freeways, it wasn't like bumper to bumper, but there was a good amount of traffic. And all of a sudden this car just went flying by doing the weaving in and out of traffic. And it didn't bother me from the perspective of, oh my God, that person just, went flying by. It bothered me from the perspective of, I just don't want to see suddenly ahead of me in the dark, some car fly up in the air. I don't want to see this. But when that car went by, suddenly everybody in front of me started honking horns and everything. And I thought, you know what? This isn't what's needed right now in this moment. What can we do? How can we look at this through a different lens so that we react and we respond differently? And by being able to, I hate to use the word look at something differently, but to look at the new thought, look at the different perspective. If somebody is coming out of the closet and their thought is, nobody's going to love me, everybody's going to reject me, then that's the energy you're going to show up in that moment when you say, hey, I'm gay.
Yeah.
But when you look at the new thought of, I'm not going to be rejected, I'm going to be showing my truest self and being my truest self, the energy shifts. And that's actually one of the exercises I do with clients when I'm working with them is tell me these thoughts. Tell me these things that you think, because underneath those thoughts are the beliefs. And then we question the beliefs. How true is that belief? Just like what you've said, is this really a true belief you have, or do we need to change the thought?
Yeah.
And it's very powerful.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm going to be the first to admit it's not easy to do.
No.
But you have to work the muscle. You have to work the muscle on a regular basis, just like going to the gym. When you do this, even in these moments, and I have to confess that coming up to this interview, I have been in back-to-back interviews today, recording podcasts, not only my podcast, but other people's podcasts. And there was a moment about an hour and a half ago where I'm like, okay, I am full. I am done today. Yet I knew I had two more to go. And I did what you just brought up. I said, okay, so what's the other thought? And I thought, I'm so privileged to get to do what I get to do because this is my joy factor. This is what I've really been put here on the earth to do. And as soon as I had that thought, everything shifted. My energy shifted up. I didn't need any more caffeine, even though I probably still do. But it was a much different way. And I think for those who haven't delved into the practice of or exploration of mindfulness and being really self-aware, this is kind of your primer for what it looks like when you become very self-aware. I'm curious, Josh, for you, and I know not only through that wake-up moment you went through, but you're in the midst of some right now in your own life. Mm-hmm. How does being very self-aware and very mindful, how does it currently benefit you?
Oh, man. Wow. In so many ways, I'm really able to show up in my best light. Right now, kind of alluded to it, and I've been very, very public about it. Right now, I'm going through a divorce. I lost my job 3 weeks ago. And in the midst of that, I ran into $3,000 in car repair, which I didn't have. Mm-hmm. So these are three major circumstances in somebody's life, right?
Yep.
And yet I find myself in a really great place. And that doesn't mean that I don't have feelings. That doesn't mean that I haven't felt really scared or that I haven't cried from the sadness. It doesn't mean that I don't have feelings. But what it means is that I've gotten to show up in a really great way, you know. And just this past weekend, I know we talked earlier, I put on, you know, a live event for people and a workshop for people. And I'm still doing my podcast and writing and speaking and coaching people. And so, and having great relationships. And so I'm still able to wake up every morning and live fully and know that I'm going to great places and know that I'm having wonderful relationships with people, myself included. And that's a wonderful thing that, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, if I would have found myself in the same predicament, I would have been curled up in a ball in a corner of the room somewhere. I don't have to be that person anymore. You know, I can show up as my fullest self and live the big life I'm destined for, regardless of my circumstances. And that's the takeaway.
Mm-hmm. It is. I look at the words that I use to bring us into the show about, you know, self-love, self-aware, and mindful. But the one that led that pack of descriptions was self-reliant. To me, the other three are what gets us to this place of being very self-reliant. When you love yourself, when you're highly self-aware, when you can open your mind to the, I am having this thought, how would I choose to have this thought differently? I see this person doing this, but are they doing this to me? I'm not feeling like I'm being loved, but are they really not loved? When you can have those kind of conversations, you become much more self-reliant so that you can thrive and you can be in the chaos of divorce, job loss, car repairs, whatever it may be, and stand in your power, which is truly what it's about.
I think that's the big takeaway right there, Rick. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Well, and it also tends to be the thing where I know you do a lot of work in this arena, but I think when we talk about self-reliance, sometimes that can be a really dirty word to people. And I know for those of us who have gone down the paths, and not every coming out path is a beautiful experience. In fact, most aren't. But one of the things we most want is to be able to lean into the people that we most care about. And I'm so glad you shared the example of the baby just being all they are in that moment. Because one of the things I often encourage clients to think about is they're struggling with family members who won't embrace them, or they're being rejected by friends or whomever, is to have them go back to a space and time when they never felt that. And almost inevitably, the only time and space they can get back to is sometime in a very, very young childhood where they're like, yeah, I didn't ever experience that then. I'm like, well, no, because you were just who you were.
Yeah.
There was no expectation. When the expectations get changed, that's when everything starts to become wonky and we get into these corners and we get in those, you know, boxing matches with each other and things go really, really crazy. So I love this work that you're building and how you're doing it to help people step into that space of fully loving themselves, being aware, being mindful. And that all leads to a very beautiful space, not a dirty word, of being self-reliant. And that's not to say you don't need other people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Rick, I just want to mention really quickly, because I think this is a really powerful thing for the listeners of your show, is this message that you cannot reject me. I am not rejectable because I am whole. You can only reject what I do. And it takes us back to our core. When we realize that who we are is not what we do, you can't reject me. You can only reject what I do. So if you don't like the things that I do or the things that I say or the thoughts that I have, you can reject all of those, but I'm none of those. So I am not rejectable. And when you stand in the power of not being rejectable and not being those things, you get to do a lot of things in life. You get a lot of choices.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just throw that out there because
that's such a beautiful place, and that's a great place to bring everything full circle. And as you were talking, I even, you know, we're in the midst of, you know, our own presidential political campaigns and stuff. And I find it so interesting that you just said that, because I don't think I'm rejecting some of the candidates. I'm rejecting what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's a big picture I just painted for people to really grasp that concept. You know, I know for many people, the first place, and whether I just had some interesting conversations in the last couple of days at some colleges I was speaking at, where somebody said, why is it that people cannot embrace bisexuals? And I said, it's not that they can't embrace bisexuals. It's that they can't embrace what they perceive bisexuals to do. It has nothing to do with the person. It's we can't wrap our head around, no differently than people still can't wrap their head around gay and lesbian stuff. It's a little more coming of age, so to speak. But it's no different than people can't wrap their head around transgender. And there's nothing a transgender is doing other than being themselves. But when people think about transgenders or bisexuals, it's what they think they do that they are rejecting. So it's just, it's a powerful, powerful place you just took us to. As I do every show, I wrap it up with, you know, a piece of advice that my guest would love to leave someone with that may be really struggling. And in this case, it could be struggling with just truly identifying who they are. Whether they're gay, bi, it doesn't matter to me. But I would love to just one last bit of wisdom you'd love to leave the listeners with before we wrap things up.
Absolutely. Well, I'll mention this, and we haven't talked about it before, so this will be something a little new that we haven't talked about. The last thing I'd want to leave people with is this. Many of us were taught that we're supposed to do life alone, that we're supposed to go out to this world and we're not supposed to ask for help. And I just want to let you know that that's the furthest thing from the truth. And in fact, if you look at any successful person in the world, they're all surrounded by a massive network of support. And so I just want anyone listening to this to know that you are not meant to do life alone, and that you are meant to do it in the community of other people. So find that community, whoever that might be, and support yourself and surround yourself with people that love you and see you for who you truly are, because you're worth it.
And as you were saying that, Josh, that's exactly why you and I got connected.
Well said.
We got connected through a community of people that we both belong to.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's been such a beautiful journey, because now there's other communities we both belong to and we keep crossing paths, but it is so important. And, you know, different guests have said that in different, find your gay and lesbian community that really supports you. But I want to take it beyond just the gay and lesbian community. I want people to really embrace, you know, if you're finding that it's hard to find people who maybe want to explore being more self-aware or mindful, keep seeking. You will find your circle. You will find that group that will fully support you in these endeavors. Awesome. So if somebody wants to be in touch with you, Josh, I know we're going to have it up on the show page, but the website for you is iamjoshbecker.com, correct?
Yeah, I just started a new site under iamjoshbecker.com. You mentioned earlier you can find me on iTunes at the I Simply Am podcast.
I would encourage everybody to listen to Josh's podcast. It is truly awesome. So, well, I really appreciate you being here, taking time out of your day to be with us, Josh, especially with everything that's going on. It's always great to have you in my presence and be a part of your journey, man.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Awesome. I really appreciate it.
And if you've enjoyed today's conversation, I highly encourage you to just tune into Josh's show, and also to go, you know, go over to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. You know the drill. If you've been listening to me, you know to go give us some love. Tell other people about it. There's lots of people out there seeking right now. And whether it's this show or other podcasts, I encourage you to find some that really resonate with you. Yes, I'd love it to be mine or Josh's that you tell people about, but find your circle. And you can always join us at Facebook on The Coming Out Coach. You can join me at my Twitter, which is at Rick Clemens. But more than anything, what I want you to do, if you take nothing more from this conversation today, is I really, truly want you to step out, step up, and step into being more self-reliant, self-loving, self-aware, and mindful of who you are. I'm Rick Clemens, The Coming Out Coach, and you've been listening to The Coming Out Lounge, and we will catch you in just another week. Take care, everyone.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.